Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Church Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Wayne and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Friday, February 20th, and this week we continue our journey through the season of Lent. I invite you to listen as I read passages that lead us to self-reflection, prayer, repentance, renewal, and focusing our hearts and minds on the good news of Jesus. Our first passage is Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 8. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. I love this passage in Titus chapter 3. First, in verse 3, Paul reminds us that we too were once foolish and disobedient. We had been led astray. We were slaves to passions and pleasures and desires. We passed our days away in malice and envy. But in verse 4, he then reminds us of the good news of the gospel, that God in his loving kindness has allowed us to experience salvation through faith in Jesus. And this is accomplished not because of our good works, but because of his mercy, by the washing and the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. And then we're moved to good works, not in hopes that we could justify ourselves by our own righteousness, but in gratitude and in response to all the Lord has done for us in Jesus. I think this is a beautiful posture of our heart to remember our need for grace, to remember God's loving kindness, to extend his grace to us in Jesus, and then to look at our lives as an offering of gratitude to him for all that he's done for us. Our second reading is Psalm 41, to the choir master, a psalm of David. Blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him. The Lord protects him and keeps him alive. He is called blessed in the land. You do not give him up to the will of his enemies. The Lord sustains him on his sick bed. In his illness, you restore him to full health. As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you. My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish? And when one comes to see me, he utters empty words, while his heart gathers iniquity. When he goes out, he tells it abroad. All who hate me whisper together about me. They imagine the worst for me. They say a deadly thing is poured out on him. He will not rise again from where he lies. Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. But you, O Lord, be gracious to me, and raise me up, that I may repay them. By this I know that you delight in me. My enemy will not shout in triumph over me. But you have upheld me because of my integrity, and set me in your presence forever. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. In Psalm 41, David is very transparent about how he feels in this season of suffering. He is undoubtedly ill physically, and there are some who are claiming that this is the Lord's judgment or punishment upon him. And what makes it so hurtful is that it's not just people out there, but it's those whom he once called close friends. And so David feels forsaken and rejected, and he ultimately turns to the Lord to deliver him and to vindicate him. David even goes so far as to ask the Lord to allow him to overcome his enemies and triumph. But you and I live in the full revelation of God's word to us in Jesus Christ. And one of the things that I find so beautiful about Jesus is that when he was on the cross and when he was being persecuted by his enemies and even abandoned by those closest to him, his heart was for their redemption and for their forgiveness. And he prayed for them. And he modeled for us what it looks like to fully entrust ourselves to the Lord and to not take matters into our own hands. So that may be a word of hope and encouragement to you today, that no matter what others may say about you or their intentions for you, that you can walk in the power of the Spirit and in the likeness of Christ and pray for the Lord's redemption in your situation and also for the redemption of those who are against you.
Thank you so much, Wayne, for joining the podcast and for reading so beautifully for us. Since it is Friday, let's do a couple of questions. We're in the season of Lent, so maybe you could comment on that. And then I'm looking forward to Holy Week. How do you determine who speaks on Holy Week services and what is our trajectory this year?
Mary, thanks for having me on the podcast. I listen almost daily to your podcast, and especially I enjoy the Friday episodes where people come on and share their testimonies, where I get a chance to learn more about oftentimes the new people that God has brought to our fellowship in recent days. And so thanks for all the investment of time and energy that you put into the podcast. We are in the season of Lent. We just had our Ash Wednesday service a couple of days ago where we acknowledge the truth that all of us, because of sin in the world, will one day die, and how our mortality points us to the hope of the gospel and hopefully to live our lives more faithfully between this day and whatever day the Lord calls us home or Christ returns. Holy Week is one of my favorite things we do at Mountain Brook Baptist Church. It's a practice that I didn't grow up with, but I've grown to love and look forward to every year. I've chosen speakers to come on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of Holy Week in different ways. My first year as the pastor, I asked Mark Gentilette to come and preach those services. He was and is a mentor in my life in the faith, and so I was excited for him to come and deliver those sermons. Dr. Gary Fenton came one year, who is a mentor and a friend of mine. This year, we're going to have Aubrey Miller, the pastor of Faith Church, come and speak. I'm really excited for Aubrey to come. Our relationship between Mountain Brook Baptist Church and Faith Church has been a beautiful relationship that God brought about in His providence and His timing. And many of us have been over to serve with Faith Church and the food pantry that they have there on Saturday mornings. And the Lord's given us other opportunities throughout the year in our Living Nativity presentations. Just this past week, we had Sharpen Up and Aubrey was present, and oftentimes men of Faith Church come. And so I'm so grateful for that relationship. And so I'm thankful that Aubrey is going to come Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You might remember last year, we made a tweak in the schedule. Instead of having lunchtime services, we've chosen to have those in the morning at 7 o'clock from 7 to 7:30. And our hope in that is that more people who are working during the day who couldn't break away from work and come to the church for a service and a meal might perhaps be able to join us in the morning, grab a light breakfast, and head out to work. And then another group of people that I'm really passionate about giving them the opportunity to engage is students. And students can't come from school during the day, and so we have tried to be intentional to craft opportunities where they can be involved in what is a meaningful, important part of preparation for celebrating Easter Sunday.
And then at the Maundy-Thursday service, I think Ethan is preaching this year, and Wayne just kind of gives different staff members opportunities to preach in that service. And then Friday, we'll hear from you. Do you already have your text?
I already have my text. Now, I don't know what it is at the moment, but I do have it.
Okay.
I have all my texts for the rest of the year.
Which brings up a good question. How do you determine what you're going to preach on, and then how far in advance do you start thinking about these passages?
Like a lot of things in pastoral ministry, I've learned from those who've gone before me. So one of the many strengths that Dr. Dortch had as a pastor was he was very intentional to plan out oftentimes a year ahead, sometimes months ahead. And so I also like to plan ahead. And what I choose for text and titles, it varies. And so this coming fall, for example, we're doing a sermon series on our new mission statement and how we intend to organize ourselves for ministry. And so we will spend the whole fall thinking about how Mountain Brook Baptist Church exists to help people experience eternal and abundant life in Jesus Christ our Lord, and how we pursue that mission by helping people growing their love for God, for one another, and for the world. So that's a thematic sermon series. This summer, we're going to be going through the book of Deuteronomy and thinking about what it looks like for us to be people of faith who live in a land of plenty. So as the Israelites were preparing to enter the promised land, they were going to transition from living in the wilderness where their dependence upon the Lord was evident to them to living in a place where they now had homes and they had gardens and they had all the things that would make their life in some respects easier, but those things would also become temptations for them to rely upon themselves and not to rely upon the Lord or to think that they deserve all these blessings because of their own righteousness. And so the book of Deuteronomy was in part preparation for living in a land of abundance. And so I see lots of parallels between the book of Deuteronomy and our own situation where we live in a land of plenty in so many respects. So how do we continue to foster dependence and faithfulness in that type of situation? So it really just depends. Sometimes I go through the lectionary. I will pick a year in the Anglican Book of Common Prayer, and I will just chart out sermons based on the passages that they suggest. And I found that to be helpful in part because I'm assigned passages in the lectionary that I wouldn't always just choose. And some of those passages require me to grapple with difficult texts and theological concepts. And so it really is a smorgasbord of how I put together sermons. And it's some combination of what I think the church might need in that particular season, and then also relying upon the wisdom of the church fathers who've gone before us, who've kind of charted out text that we receive and that we lean into and preach.
You've mentioned in sermons your daily routine of how you enter into God's presence and into His Word. Share with us more about your process.
My process is that I use the Anglican Book of Common Prayer for my daily readings. So either before or after exercising, I will read assigned readings. And I read several chapters from the Book of Psalms, from that lectionary suggested daily office reading list. I always read the proverb of the day, or most always. So today I will, for example, read Proverbs chapter 20. I will then have New Testament readings, Old Testament readings. I'm currently just finished up the book of Jeremiah. I'm reading through Romans with our church Bible reading plan. And so I try to get as much Bible intake as I can. And I find it to be helpful for my own soul, but then also helpful for me in preaching and teaching ministry to be as informed and engaged with God's Word as I can. And then, of course, I listen to the Project 119 Bible Reading Plan podcast most every day. And then I worship with a group of Anglicans over in England. I participate in what is usually about a 20-minute worship service with lots of scripture reading and prayers and choral music that has become a really important part of my devotional life.
At our dinner table, we do something called High-Low Buffalo. I want to hear your high-low and buffalo as it relates to your job. So what's something that you really love about your job? What's something that is hard for you? And then what's something that you're learning?
The thing that I love about my job more than anything is interacting with people. The Lord gives me incredible opportunities to walk alongside people in moments of joy and excitement, moments of preparation for a next season of life, for example, in premarital counseling, and also walking with families through seasons of grief when they've lost loved ones in recent days. Whatever the context for engaging with people, I feel like that's one of the things that God has given me for a heart the most. I love seeing the children come forward for the children's sermon. As I have opportunity on a Sunday morning, I will walk around the second floor between services and try to speak to lots of the children who are in there, speak to those who are teaching them, childcare workers. I love being in the community and trying to connect with people in hopes that they might ultimately connect with Jesus Christ and with the community of faith we have here at our church. And so one of the things that the Lord really, I think, has called me to and gifted me for is to try to engage with people. And I often tell people when I meet with them, they will say something like, well, thank you for giving me so much of your time, or I know you're busy. And I will sometimes say, well, this is why I'm involved in ministry. I do some of the other things in ministry because I have to, and I do these things in ministry because I really have a heart for and care about people. So that's my high.
Okay.
Spending time with people is my high. My low is some of the more administrative tasks that have to happen. Completing expense reports is not an exciting thing to do. Some of the things that you have to do that are just part of working in an office, I have to do internet safety training. You know, some of those things are not the things that I love the most, but they're valuable. And every job has some portion that you do because you have to do so that you can then do the things that you want to do. And my job is no different. My buffalo is probably related to audiobooks that I listen to. So I am currently listening to The Rise of Theodore Roosevelt. It's by Edmund Morris. It was recommended to me a long time ago, and I'm slowly making my way through it. And it's so interesting to think about Theodore Roosevelt's life and to draw parallels to leadership, and then to also compare and contrast his political world with the political world today. And so I'm finding that to be a very interesting book. Another book that I read last year, toward the end of the year, everybody told me I had to read Theo of Golden. And I resisted for some reason for a long time, and I finally listened to it on Audible. And it is a really beautiful and amazing and theologically rich, I would say, book. So I would commend that to people. And that book kind of then spurred me on to listen to some other modern fiction. So I'm currently listening to The Borrowed Life of Frederick Fife. Amy Hirsch, incidentally, is a wonderful person to recommend books to you. If you were looking for a book to read for just about any topic, I would say Amy is probably the leading bibliophile at Mount Brook Baptist. I think she read like 50 books last year. And not audiobooks, like she sat down and read the books. And so she recommended a few to me, and I'm enjoying The Borrowed Life of Frederick Fife. It's a story about a man who gets a second chance at life and really to live someone else's life. But the themes of community, the themes of relationship, the desire that we have to know and be known have been really powerful. And it's funny along the way. So that's a book. I don't know how it ends. So if you listen to it because I recommended it, do so at your own risk.
Thanks so much, Wayne, for reading for us and for checking in with us today. We always appreciate hearing from your heart, and we're so grateful for your ministry. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Certainly. Father, we thank you for the good news of the gospel and for the hope that we have and that we share in Jesus. I thank you so much for the people of Mountain Brook Baptist Church. I thank you for the ways that we see your hand at work among us, conforming us more into the image of Jesus, and for the ways in which you are adding people to our number who I hope are experiencing all that you would have for them to know in a church community. We thank you that you have been patient and gracious to us, that you and your good timing allowed us to experience new life through faith in Jesus. We pray that you would continue to be at work in our hearts and our lives by your mercy and your grace, that others might come to experience all that you would have them to know through faith in Christ. We love you, and we thank you for your great love for us. And we offer this prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Mm-hmm.